But, dear Uva, there was never a coup d'etat.
It was so, says Uva grumpily.
Rune's wife looks at Parvana with an embarrassed little smile. Well, you see, Rune and Uva haven't always gotten along so very well. Before Rune got ill, he was the head of the Residents Association, and before that, Uva was the head. And when Rune was voted in, there was something of a wrangle between Uva and Rune, you could say.
Uva looks up and points a corrective index finger at her. A coup d'etat, that's what it was.
Rune's wife nods at Parvana. Well, yes, well, before the meeting, Rune counted votes about his suggestion that we should change the heating system for the houses, and Uva thought...
And what the hell does Rune know about heating systems, eh?
Uva exclaims heatedly, but immediately gets a look from Parvana, which makes him reconsider and come to the conclusion that there's no need to complete his line of thought. Rune's wife nods. Maybe you're right, Uva, but anyway, he's very sick now, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
Her bottom lip trembles slightly.
Then she regains her composure, straightens her neck with dignity, and clears her throat. The authorities have said they'll take him from me and put him in a home, she manages to say. Uva puts his hands in his pockets again and determinedly backs away across his threshold.
He's heard enough of this.
In the meantime, the lanky one seems to have decided it's time to change the subject and lighten up the atmosphere. He points at the floor in Uva's hall.
What's that?
Uva turns to look at the bit of floor exposed by the loose plastic sheet.
It looks as if you've got sort of tire marks on the floor. Do you cycle indoors or what?
Says the lanky one. Parvana keeps her observant eyes on Uva as he backs away another step so he can impede the lanky one's view.
It's nothing.
But I can see it's... The lanky one begins confusedly. It was Uva's wife, Sonia. She was... Rune's wife interrupts him in a friendly manner, but she only has time to get to the name Sonia when Uva, in turn, interrupts her and spins around with unbridled fury in his eyes.
That'll do. Now you shut up.
All four of them fall silent, equally shocked. Uva's hands tremble as he steps back into his hall and slams the door. He hears Parvana's soft voice out there asking Rune's wife what all that was about. Then he hears Rune's wife fumbling nervously for words, and then exclaiming, Oh, you know, I'd better go home. That thing about Uva's wife... Oh, forget it. Old bats like me, we talk too much, you know? Uva hears her strained laugh and then her little dragging footsteps disappearing as quickly as they can around the corner of his shed. A moment later, the pregnant one and the lanky one also leave. And all that's left is the silence of Uva's hall. He sinks down on the stool, breathing heavily. His hands are still shaking as if he were standing waist deep in ice-cold water. His chest thumps. It happens more and more these days. He has to sort of struggle for a mouthful of air like a fish in an overturned bowl. His company doctor said it was chronic and that he mustn't work himself up. Easy for him to say. Good to go home and have a rest now, said his bosses at work. Now your heart is playing up and all. They called it early retirement, but they might as well have said what it was, liquidation. A third of a century in the same job, and that's what they reduced him to. Uva is not sure how long he stays there on the stool, sitting with the drill in his hand and his heart beating so hard that he feels the pulse inside his head. There's a photo on the wall beside the front door of Uva and Sonia. It's almost 40 years old, that time they were in Spain on a bus tour. She's suntanned, wearing a red dress and looking so happy. Uva is standing next to her, holding her hand. He sits there for what must be an hour, just staring at that photo. Of all the imaginable things he most misses about her, the thing he really wishes he could do again is hold her hand in his. She had a way of folding her index finger into his palm, hiding it inside. And he always felt that nothing in the world was impossible when she did that. Of all the things he could miss, that's what he misses most. Slowly, he stands up, goes into the living room, up the steps of the stool. And then, once and for all, he drills the hole and puts in the hook, then gets off the stool and studies his work. He goes into the hall and puts on his suit jacket, feels in his pocket for the envelope. He's turned out all the lights, washed his coffee mug, put up a hook in his living room. He's done. He takes down the rope from the clothes dryer in the hall. Gently, with the back of his hand, he caresses her coats one last time. Then he goes into the living room, ties a noose in the rope, threads it through the hook, climbs up on the stool, and puts his head in the noose. Kicks the stool away. Closes his eyes and feels the noose closing around his throat like the jaws of a large wild animal.